Welcome back to 45 North. I'm Anne Strange-Champson. We're hosting a Gypsy Jazz Festival on the radio in this hour. And I want to introduce you to some of Wisconsin's finest musicians. Harmonious Whale, the mandolin-driven gypsy jazz band that has won way too many awards to count. They have a huge reputation around the Midwest, and they are creators of the annual Midwest Gypsy Jazz Fest, now in its 11th year. On mandolin, the band's founder, Sims Delaney Potthoff, vocalist Maggie Delaney Potthoff, and on bass, Jeff Weiss. The Midwest Gypsy Jazz Fest is happening tonight and tomorrow at Fitchburg's Art in the Barn, and this year's headliner is a young Finnish sensation, guitarist Ale Sokole, and he joins us here today, and along with our live studio audience. Oh, and hey, we've also got Jack Soroff on guitar. Thanks to everyone for being here, both audience and musicians, so it's great to have you all. Yeah. Hey, Sim, start off by telling us, what is Gypsy Jazz?
Hi, Anne. Good morning. Gypsy Jazz is music that is in the legacy or the style of a fellow named Django Reinhardt, D-J-A-N-G-O, who lived in Paris, died in 1954. And he was born in Belgium and spent his formative years in Paris playing in Parisian-type bands. And when he heard the music of Louis Armstrong, he held his head in his hands and wept. He was so moved. So they started playing jazz, and jazz was a nice little buzz through Europe through the 30s and the 40s, of course. But when Django first started in the mid to late 30s, and just a really gifted guitarist.
But what makes it gypsy jazz? Is there a gypsy heritage?
His heritage. He started playing traditional gypsy music, of course, and then musettes and Parisian music, and then he kind of fused those into playing American jazz standards. So it's a particular guitar-focused approach to jazz with a real gypsy tonality to it. And the that romantic minor key gypsy thing kind of works its way through. And he is hands down the best guitarist the world has seen. When you mention great guitarists and you say the word Django to them, all of them drop to their knees. And, you know, it's really something. You know.
Well, there's a whole backstory to Django Reinhardt that we'll have to get in. He was a fascinating person, but gypsy jazz in the meantime has become, I mean, it's continued long since
it
his
has.
Death, and I think there's kind of a renaissance of gypsy jazz music right now.
It seems like it, and I have no idea why, but it, you know, there's a lot of styles of music from Cajun to bluegrass to Western swing that, you know, somebody like Bill Monroe or Bob Wills or Dewey Balfa have had very successful bands in a particular style, and then they further the, you know, just the legacy of that style. Gypsy jazz has maintained itself since Django played. Of course, the gypsies in Europe, it's really reverent to them. They really take it seriously. He's the most famous Roma person ever, and every year in France, south of Paris, there's a festival in his honor, and it's quite serious. People come and pay homage to his gravesite, and the festival's just a beautiful festival. But the music is passionate and not necessarily easy to play, so you really have to dig in, but it's alive and well, and there's many bands all over the place. Name a major city, and there's sure to be a hot club of, so, you know, hot club of Chicago or hot club of Detroit.
Well, Ole, I think you play in the hot club to Europe.
Yeah, and actually hot club to Finland.
Hot club to Finland, too. Somehow that sounds like an oxymoron.
Cold.
Isn't Finland a hot club for a very cold place?
Yeah, well, it's hot music, so.
Yeah. Well, can we get a taste of what we're talking about? You know, with music, there's only so long you can talk about it before you just have to hear it.
Here's a song that there's a great mosaic release of a compilation of Django tunes, and they've got a really nice book with it. And there's a picture of the band and this young singer, and Django is kind of making a motion like, sing now, don't sing now, now go. And she was, I think, 13. And she lives, I think she's still alive, right? Lives in L.A. So here's a song that the Hot Club did with, I don't even remember her name.
Beryl Davis.
There you go. With a B?
Yeah.
Beryl?
I think so.
Cool.
I might be lying. But
have you
I'm
met her, Jack?
Sure.
Yeah. So Maggie will sing this and the band will play it through. It's called Cuckoo.
Okay. Coucou, pointe le brillant. Coucou, elle a les yeux de fier. Coucou,
avant ce printemps. Que faites-vous encore ensemble hier? Aviez-vous la mort de transformer? Coucou, pour mon vieux pété, coucou, mon vieux amour de pité, coucou.
Fantastic. How gorgeous. Maggie, what a beautiful voice you have. I'm sure you've heard this a thousand
times.
Sure,
thank you. Well, you know, I'm just feeling the morning airwaves here.
Thanks, Anne, and in French, too.
A little bit, yeah. I hope no one speaks fluent here in our audience, because that always makes me a little crazy. But so, yeah, coucou. It's a flirtatious way of saying hi in France.
How did you, in particular, fall in love with gypsy jazz?
You know, it's just it's a funny kind of thing that happens when a certain kind of music just fits your voice and your feel. And I don't know. I think it's the passion. It's like there's a little party going on inside of me when I'm playing this music. So I don't know. I just love it.
Well, that piece in particular has such a French feeling. I mean, it's not just that it's in French, but it somehow just resonates. You think of the sound of French cafes.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
Certain period of time, I don't know, 40s or something.
Yes.
It's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it all like that?
Yes.
Well,
makes
okay.
you thirsty for red wine immediately. Yeah, it
great.
Is. It all brings you into a different time and a different era and a different place, but at the same time, it's completely timeless. So
it also sounds fiendishly difficult to play.
And these guys are masters.
Right, mm-hmm. As a non-musician, sort of tell me what am I listening to?
Yeah, what are you guys up to over there on those strings? Give us some lessons here.
Well, really the heartbeat of this music.
Hey, this is Jack, can you lean into the mic just
sure,
a little bit?
Sure, I can lean into the mic.
Yeah.
Is this better?
Yeah,
better, okay.
Thanks.
So really the heartbeat of this music is the rhythm style, what we call le pompe.
Le pompe?
Le pompe.
What does it
French
mean?
Which is French for the pump.
The pump, okay.
like a water pump. You know, it's...
For example.
Like a water pump.
Uh-huh. And there's a really interesting cool. thing happening in the world of gypsy jazz regarding le pompe. That it's I think what it is it's the cymbal, right? Of a jazz, you know, jazz band.
Because the hot clubs have no drummers.
And so it began with that kind of rhythm. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy that I know, I sent him down to Chicago. He was going to play in the Whale, and I'm teaching him how to play this music. And I kind of come from a bluegrass mode, and I've listened to a lot of Django stuff. And I end up playing it... with a push on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. There's a thing happening now that a lot of players, and this guy in Chicago said, you don't want to play like that. You want to play like the young guys today, and where the push is more on that one. So it's almost
wait,
like...
Wait, show us.
So do it again, Jack, what you just did. So. 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Keep playing. Got you. And I'll push the backbeat more. kind of coming from a Bill Monroe way. Junk, junk. And it gets this really interesting little machine thing going. I'm thinking
it's
that's Chicago style.
Or we're in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah. I mean, Alphonse is a big pusher of that. And
I know. What's so interesting is then, you know, I talked to a lot of young people who listen to hip hop, and it's all about the beat.
Isn't
and
it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So, and this sounds, in some ways, the way young people start with, if they're making a, you know, hip hop mix or something,
totally.
You start with a beat. Yeah. And and people are celebrated for their beats. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, in some ways, it starts the same way here. Starts with a beat.
Yep. And I think all of music, that's the most important thing. Don't you guys agree? Yeah. It's the rhythm. You know, I teach my voice students, you can forget a word and fake one, or you can forget the note and fudge it a little bit or something. But timing. Mm-hmm. Is everything. Mm-hmm. You know,
so the most remarkable thing, which you just pointed out, which I didn't even think about it, there's no drum set.
Right.
You have no drums. You're playing this, I can't think of much other jazz where there are no drums.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a beautiful thing, really, to see these gypsy jazz bands. They play sitting instead of standing, generally speaking. And it's beautiful to watch their, in my mind anyway, their arms and their wrists and their hands in that kind of amazing unison.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's got dance quality to it. When you can just get lost, I think, sometimes in watching their technique.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's maybe time for another song.
What do we got? Who's up?
You choose. You're the musicians. You choose. Play something.
All right. Here's a song that that we wrote. It's a whale song.
Okay. Harmonious Whale.
A dream. Now there is no future buzz by its sight unseen. When I get $1,000, then I will complain. Someday I will change my luck and move back to Racine. Good luck comes and good luck goes. Sometimes rains make rivers flow. Don't know much, but this I know. Things that come are things that go.
Harmonious Whale with Andrew Sims, Delaney Potthoff on mandolin, Maggie Delaney Potthoff on vocals, and Jeff Weiss on bass. We also got Olli Sokole, gypsy guitarist from Finland, with us this morning. He's known as the Finnish Fury. There is more gypsy swing music coming up after the break. And if you love this music, remember that the Midwest Gypsy Swing Fest is on this weekend at Art in the Barn in Fitchburg. Details at MidwestSwingFest.com, or you can find the link on our Facebook page, which is 45 North on WPR. I'm Ann Strain Champs. Stay tuned. I'm Anne Strange-Hampson. We're talking about the Midwest Gypsy Swing Fest and Gypsy Swing music today with Harmonious Whale founder Sims Delaney-Potthoff, Maggie Delaney-Potthoff, and Jeff Weiss. We've also got Olli Sokole, gypsy guitarist from Finland, also known as the Finnish Fury. And we've got Jeff Soroff with us today also. Sorry, Jeff, stumbling on your name. And a live studio audience. I want to open it up to questions from the floor. If you guys have something you would like to ask, a question, just raise your hand and come on up and ask your question. But in the meantime, Olli, I want to know something more about you, this Finnish Fury on the shores here. Tell me how you found your way to gypsy jazz music.
So I started playing guitar when I was 12 years old, and I'm from a very small town in eastern part of Finland called Nurmes, and I had a teacher named Kari Päkkönen who actually didn't know how to play this music properly, but he knew about the music, and he's been to the festival on what Sims mentioned earlier, the Samoa, and he got the records of Django Reinhardt, and so I took lessons from him, and after a while the lessons turned into we started working on the repertoire, and I played the La Pompe rhythm for him for a year, and I don't know, I just fell in love with the music.
Did you hear it first yourself? Did he introduce you to the music, or
did
you already know it?
No, I didn't know. I started playing rock and heavy metal.
That's a long way to gypsy jazz.
Yeah.
So what's the gypsy jazz music scene like in Europe right now?
I mean, in France and Germany, it's really big. And unfortunately, in Finland, it's not very well known, but it's getting there.
Yeah. Thanks in part to you. Yeah, did I see a question? Sorry.
Do you need a mic for this? Or?
Just come on up a little bit.
Okay. I'm curious about whether there is any sort of continuing resonance between the music and Roma culture today.
Oh, good question. Continuing resonance between the music and Roma culture.
Well, actually, there's like two tribes of gypsies, and it's a Roma and Sinti, and the gypsy swing music is played by Sinti gypsies, not Roma.
I didn't know that there was more than one tribe.
Yeah, I mean, in France and Belgium, there are Sinti gypsies, and they play gypsy swing music, and Roma they play like a Balkan style, and it's different.
Uh-huh. And were these, the Roma were decimated by the Holocaust? I mean, the Nazis killed hundreds of thousands. Were the Sinti also targeted in the same way?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. And is that, are there still, is this music still a tradition amongst the Sinti Roma today? I mean, Sinti Gypsies?
Yeah. You asked me that I play with the Hot Club of Europe. So I play with the Sinti gypsy Paulus Schaefer, and who's a cousin to Stokkela Rosenberg, who's a really famous guitarist in this style.
Okay. Well, can we hear a bit of your music?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. Thank you. Molly, I have to say, I was watching your fingers. I don't know how you made that. I don't know how you did that.
Yeah, me neither.
It's the Fury.
Now I see why the name. Oh, my God. Have you just always had fingers that can move incredibly fast? Or what does it take to play like that?
Well, actually, when I started playing this, I never even dreamed about becoming a solo player. Then I started just working on it, and actually the technique part came really naturally for me. And I didn't, of course, I practiced hours and hours, and I still do, but it wasn't that like that big of a struggle.
Well, I'm always curious when people, musicians, say, of course, I practice hours and hours. Like, how many hours is that? Like, how much time would you say you practice every day?
Well, nowadays I spend most of my time sending emails and that kind of stuff. So,
well, that keeps the fingers flexible.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, I play like 1 to 2 hours.
Uh-huh. And when you were learning?
Maybe like 8.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Well, it shows. Thank you so much. That's just extraordinary. Sims, when you listen to Oli play, you tell me what you hear, because I'm always interested in what musicians hear that I wouldn't hear.
There's a great video that was one of the first, when I first started really getting into Django music. Ian Cruikshank put it together. It was a little vignette of the festival in San Juan, and he talks a lot about the music. It's really a great video, and it's still only out on VHS, so I don't know why it's not.
Yeah, well, none of us have those machines anymore, so it's not going to do us any good.
I've got my tape, and I'm trying to stuff it in my little Mac, and it doesn't work. But there's a great scene in there where he talks about, I mean, it's actually Ian sitting on the streets playing with an accordion player, and he talks about the Parisian music and the rippling accordion approach and how on an accordion you can do that and the rippling, and that was super influential in Django's approach, that kind of rippling.
So that's what you were doing, that rippling that you create just with your... I haven't heard a guitarist do that like that before.
Yeah, I mean, the tune we just played, it's called Django's Waltz or...
Montagne Saint-Geneviève.
Yeah, that's right. So, it was never recorded by Django. Matteo Ferre, a French guitarist, recorded in that.
That's fascinating.
Another thing I was thinking while Oli was playing was, you were asking earlier, Anne, why do we think that all of a sudden there's this great resurgence of gypsy jazz? And then Oli was saying, well, he started out playing heavy metal and rock. And it brought to mind once when I was reading the autobiography of Frank Zappa that he had met this guy, Paul Simon, on the phone. Paul Simon said, come on, let's get together. Why don't you come up to my apartment? This is where I live. So Frank Zappa finds his place in the heart of New York City and goes up to this guy's 10th floor or whatever. And the doors open a little bit of the apartment. He raps on the door. Paul Simon's like, come in, come in, come on, come on, come on. And he steps into Paul Simon's apartment, and Paul Simon is on his hands and knees with his ear pasted to his speaker listening to a record of Django Reinhardt. He says, you have to hear this. Come in and hear this. You aren't going to believe this stuff. So talk about this kind of underground knowledge that's been had by guitarists all around the world for many years. Somehow that it seems to be oozing up into the atmosphere.
You know what I find remarkable is that the story that's, as you're telling it, that's kind of emerging, it sounds like an entire really influential type of music which goes back pretty much to one person. Mm-hmm. That doesn't
goes
back to one person, mm-hmm. Django Reinhardt. Mm-hmm. That sort of, but surely he was playing out of a tradition, a gypsy tradition that had simply been unremarked by mainstream culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do we know anything about how far back that gypsy tradition went, you know, earlier, before Django?
No. I think the one thing, as musicians, you know, we don't really, I mean, as much as we listen to records and go to Django festivals and we don't see styles. We just play music, and it happens to come out like this.
And I think that is what happened with Django in a lot of ways. I mean, we can talk about the gypsy tradition, and I think that you hear that in his aesthetic and the attack and the percussive sound of these instruments. a lot of the musical content comes from Louis Armstrong and people like that and the jazz music he loved. And I think if he loved something, he loved bebop when he heard bebop, and that became part of his world. And
in fact, I think he played with Louis Armstrong, he played with Duke Ellington, he played with, I mean, what a wonderful time to have been alive. And we should point out one of the amazing things, I read this on Wikipedia, so you'll have to tell me if it's true or not.
So we know it's true.
He only played with two fingers on one hand.
Mm-hmm. He got caught in a fire. His wife was selling flowers in Paris, and they kept him in the back little part of their caravan, and the word is that he heard a mouse and went to look for this mouse with a candle and dropped the candle, and the thing burst into flames, and he got his wife out, and he was pretty injured. His leg was a mess, and his hand was, his left hand, his picking hand was a mess. And his fretting hand, right. Yeah, this is the picking hand. Get my bluegrass terms mixed up with my manouche. So when you look at pictures of him between the little finger and the ring finger on his back of his palm, there's a pretty ugly scar, and those two fingers were pretty much inoperable. I think he used them, but most of the stuff was these two fingers.
Which seems extraordinary considering the kind of verbal dexterity of the music that you know you've been playing.
But it's love over form, you know. He was so moved by the music. And as Jack mentioned, the sound, because it was acoustic and he's playing a relatively quiet instrument, these instruments are louder than most guitars. There's just a certain tension to the way they're built. But he had to find a way to project the music with his right hand and play with verve and intensity while his left hand was doing the stuff that Ole was showing. And he was doing that with two fingers. So it's pretty amazing stuff.
Isn't that a life lesson, though?
Isn't it?
You know,
that
you,
it totally is.
Right. Your greatest strengths often grow out of the weaknesses or the things that you're forced to compensate for.
And if you're moved, and if you really focus on the love and the groove of the thing, it'll play you. There's a funny thing talking about all this rock and roll connections. Maggie and I have two sons, and the elder is a great guitarist, and he's played with the band a bunch, and so he knows gypsy jazz, and he's a great metal player. And there's a cool thing happening in the world of metal these days that it got a kind of away from shred guitar for a while, and it was all vocals and the groove. And Henry is his name, and he's moved to New Orleans to work in a metal band called Zombie Legion. And his job in that band is he wants to find another guitarist and do these rippling guitar things in a metal band. I think Avenged Sevenfold is a big band that's doing
right
it now.
Here, you know.
Yeah, right. So it makes sense. I mean, at some point, you can picture this. I mean, it's shredding, and it's shred guitar, and it's something that's happening in the metal world, and it's really exciting because the music is almost classical, but it's, you know, distortion and rippling arpeggios, and so really the music is the same. It's just got a different tonality to it, but it's really kind of exciting.
You're going to have to talk a lot longer to to make me see much value in heavy metal, but oops, somebody's going to...
It's there. It's, you know.
Okay, Ole, do you still play metal music or rock?
Not really. I sold my electric guitar, so...
Mistake.
But actually, I've thought about it. Sometimes I miss it.
Yeah. What do you miss?
Metal music.
Uh-huh.
I found my old Metallica records, and I was listening to those, and I was like, this is some good stuff.
Sims and Maggie, I haven't asked you much about, of course, you play music that, you know, Django tunes and that other people have written. You sing a lot of jazz standards, but you write a lot of your own music yourself. How does that work between the two of you?
To sum it all up, we have two different approaches, really. When I write, the lyrics pop first, lyrics and timing, and then the melody seeps in, and the song comes together. Sims writes amazing melodies and puts words to them.
You guys have been...
That's in a nutshell, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Sims mostly, you know, writes about the glass being half full, and my glass is always half empty, so it's perfect.
The major and the minor. Yeah,
that's how
I think
goes.
It's just the wrong size glass.
And how does it... Well, I'm always curious about couples who are creative partners. So you are married, you have two kids, you've had a family, you're also creative partners and make music together. What do you think you each bring to that partnership?
What do we bring to the part? What do you bring, Sims?
I think that there was a guy.
That's a hard question.
That is
man.
A hard. It really is. Will you be our marriage
counselor? I see this big jigsaw puzzle in my mind. Like, well, there's a lot of juggling going on. Keep your sense of humor is my theory.
That's a big one. There was a guy in the band once. He was only in the band for a couple of months, but great bass player. And he ended up moving out of town and back somewhere else. But one of the things he brought to the band was we all have to commit to seeking the groove. And when you get in any committee, any bunch of people, somebody will say, no, it's here. It's like this. Play it like this. And if you get people in a band and you have two of those guys and it's not the same groove, you're a mess. And if we all agree to seek the groove, give up on your own vision of what it is and seek the groove and find it together, the power of that groove will carry you through. And I think that parallel is how it's the answer to the question of, I think, of how do we combine our artistry and live together. And it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, I've written songs that Maggie reads the lyrics and says, I'm not singing this, you know, because she's intense about singing stuff that she believes in. So, you know, I'll come up with a cool idea, but it just doesn't resonate with her lyrically. So
here's a funny one. Sims wrote this really cool melody. Like I said, he writes these melodies first, and he's like, here, Meg, figure some lyrics out for this song. And I'm just hearing something kind of like, candlelight, I'm candlelight, romantic. It's like, okay. So I sit down at the piano, and I play through this melody that he wrote. The song ended up being called Bury Me, and it was sung from the eyes of a dead woman whose husband just did her in.
Go figure.
Okay, I don't know what was going on in your marriage at that time, but
it was not about our marriage.
It wasn't me. She made it clear.
That's what she says.
Here's a song that talking about our sons. Our other son, his name is Emmett, and he's 25 today.
Oh, happy birthday, Emmett.
He's sleeping. So he's not listening to this. But the song started when he was just a little kid, and he's on fire. He's just a fireball. And he's just a little motor, you know. And so I'm trying to write music. I'm trying to book gigs, and he's all over the place. So I couldn't finish the song. And I came up with this. I was just messing around once at the mandolin. Oh, that's kind of pretty. I like that. That was it. And that's all the further I could get. And then, you know, Emmett's moving around and doing stuff. Finally, one day, I don't know what happened, but he went to sleep early. And I finished the song. And it was called Emmett's Asleep. And then later we put words to it. And the words have nothing to do with Emmett. It's all about kind of celebrating the autumn. And it's his birthday today. And so it's called Emmett's Tune
Emmett's
Now.
Song.
And it's a happy birthday wish for Emmett.
A flying bee across the sky, another year and here am I. Like a leaf falls from the blue, I fall in love with you. With you I laugh, with you I cry. And though I try, I can't deny, it's as if I always knew that I'd fall in love. My inspiration, though the winds of change can dash our dreams, scattered leaves change the scene. But when that harvest moon shines through, oh, I fall in love. Sometimes I miss that highway sound, but what we have together. that the strong to last our whole life long. You are the reason and the cause. The road before us has no laws, and what we know is nothing new. As I fall in love with you, sometimes like the seasons change, we too can be in summer and snow. But each year it seems less strange. Autumn's got me talking with you, and so we'll mark our time each year. There will always be tears, but like the geese each year that flew, each fall with you our love renewed. I fall in love with you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Sort of an anniversary song for Sims and I. We're going to be 32 years next week.
Congratulations.
So it is an autumn love song.
Sims Delaney Potthoff on mandolin, Maggie Delaney Potthoff on vocals, and Jeff Weiss on bass. Together they formed the 25-year-old band Harmonious Whale. And with us also today, all the way from Finland, gypsy guitarist Olli Sokkola, and Jeff Saroff on guitar. I'm Ann Strangehamps. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more gypsy jazz, and we'll be talking about the Midwest Gypsy Swing Fest, which begins this weekend. You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio and 45 North. You're listening to 45 North on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with Harmonious Whale and with Finnish guitarist Olli Sokkola and Jeff Saroff on guitar. They've been playing, and they're also here because the Midwest Gypsy Swing Fest begins tonight, going on this weekend at Art in the Barn in Fitchburg. You guys created this festival,
yep.
Am I right?
We sure did.
Is it really Midwest? Do you get people from all over the Midwest showing up?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They come from all over the Midwest, and our artists come from the Midwest, regionally speaking, and then nationwide. And as you can see, Oli's here from Finland, so we have the opportunity of always bringing in a European as well.
So. Yeah, concerts and also workshops, right? So people must come from all over who want to play, get better
yes.
at playing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, tons of jamming going on. The workshops happen. They get new ideas. They get new information. Jack Saroff teaches a brilliant workshop. Jack, you're out in Boston doing workshops like crazy up and down the East Coast. So we're really excited that Jack's joining us and taking, you know, that portion of the festival into his own hands.
Yeah. And all of this in or around Barn. How did this happen? Yeah. You guys created
the Barn?
This. Yeah.
Oh, the Barn is amazing. It was built in the 1870s, and my college roommate actually drove past this barn on her way to work. This is about 15 years ago, I'm going to guess. And she noticed that some realtors were pounding a for sale sign in to the ground. And she got out her cell phone and called her realtor, and she and her husband went and looked at it and fell in love with it. It's a beautiful, they've created a beautiful horse farm, state-of-the-art horse farm. And she said, you know, Maggie, you got to see this barn we bought. And so she slid open this barn door, and I was like, oh, we could do concerts in here. So Ann and Bill Kinzemius own the land, and they open it up to us and the public.
But, you know, I was thinking, like, where would the Midwestern arts scene be without barns?
Exactly.
There are so many. I mean, all along the, and not just the arts. I mean, I'm thinking there's the SHTTY Barn mm-hmm. in Spring Green. Does
yeah.
a whole great
They're starting
great
to pop
series.
Up now, uh-huh. yeah.
Yeah,
and we've been out here for
and then there are the
years,
pizza so. Barns all
yeah.
along
oh,
the
no kidding.
Right where
oh,
people
yeah.
uh-huh. people grow all the ingredients for pizza
oh,
and
cool.
then right and then make the pizza there and people show up and you hang out in the fields and you eat the pizza.
Yeah.
yeah.
About the same time that Maggie discovered this barn, we had done a tour to Europe and were in Amsterdam and heard this great music and walked our way through the crowds and met Robin Nolan and his quartet at the time and became good friends and so we had said to him, you should come visit sometime. Come play music here. So he was really one of the first concerts of the Midwest Gypsy Swing Fest. And he's come back a number of times. And I'm really proud to say that he's coming back in February for the midwinter Midwest Gypsy Swing Fest. So.
Oh, there's a midwinter one, too.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, I was trying to think about the connection or whether there's any sort of natural sort of affinity between gypsy culture and the Midwest. I couldn't really kind of get it, but I was thinking, well, barns and the lifestyle rooted on the land or connection mm-hmm. to the land and the seasons. Mm-hmm. And there's something that
Being
feels
outdoors,
a little
mm-hmm. beautiful
feels a little
gypsy campfire at the end of the night. A lot of the guitarists who come here and perform at our festival have told us, you know, this is the most authentic feeling Gypsy Jazz Festival, because they play the ones in Europe a lot as well. So, yeah, you're probably right. It kind of ties in with our Midwestern approach to just enjoy
outdoors,
nature and be outside.
So, hey, the one person up here on stage we haven't heard from so far, Jeff Weiss. I wanted to... Hey, Jeff, bass player, and actually you have one foot in the classical world as well as one foot in the jazz world, am I right?
Yep, I studied here at the UW with Richard Davis, so my roots are kind of in the classical realm of things as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you played with the Madison Symphony Orchestra?
UW Symphony.
UW Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, I was principal for a year.
Well, principal bass?
Yes.
What's the, I don't know, the most challenging or the classical piece at the moment that you love playing most?
Beethoven's always the most challenging for bass players, at least. It kind of actually started off as a Beethoven group of bass players that was actually European-based. They all got together to learn the music because it was so hard. Originally started off as a cello thing, and then during the Beethoven era is when the basses actually, you know, became to be like an actual instrument in the orchestra, so there was a lot of doubling of the cello, so they all got together like, oh, we gotta learn this music.
And how does your classical playing and your jazz playing influence each other at all? Because these are really pretty different traditions, right? When you play classical music, you don't improvise, you're playing the notes as written, but the jazz tradition is very different.
Yeah, the tradition's different, the style's a little different, but you know, the ideas, melodies are there. It's more about the rhythmic kind of language, I guess. The language of classical is a little bit different. It's more strict kind of on-beat stuff, where jazz is more off-beat kind of, I don't know how to describe it. But yeah, the language of the rhythm is different.
Sims, do you, what kind of musical tradition did you come up in yourself?
Well, I remember my dad as a little kid, we had a piano, and he would play T for Two. And he did, I thought it was amazing. He would go take his left hand and cross over the right hand, doing T, be dink, for two, beep, boop, and two. I thought that was magic. And then he said, well, son, we're going to sell the piano because we should make a living and not play music. And I thought, that's crazy talk. And sold the piano. And so I kind of went one direction and kept playing music. And he loved this band. He just loved watching us play and throughout the career. And so it was kind of early jazz through him, Benny Goodman stuff, and then, of course, Beatles stuff as I was growing up. And then I started playing bluegrass. And I met Jethro Burns, a mandolin player in Chicago, and he turned me on to Django. So, and again, once I heard Django's music, I thought,
it was just all
there's
over.
A lifetime right there, yeah. So, and the fun thing, Jack Sorif and I both went to Berklee School of Music, and there's a certain approach to tonality and musical approach that it's an accent or something, and we both speak it, and you can hear it in somebody's playing, and these melodies that, you know, I just really like writing little melodies. I've got a singer and a bass player who are good enough and crazy enough to tackle these things. So one of the whale things is that we'll all play these lines in unison, little bebop-y kind of lines. And it's a lot of fun to learn them. They're little etudes or little jazz heads.
What do you mean?
Well, they're...
example?
Melodies.
People stuff?
People stuff or chanson?
Chanson.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you want to play it quickly? Just what? Once through the head?
Just play the head.
Okay, here's the head.
Okay.
I didn't
understand any of what they said.
Okay. This is a song written over the changes to Back Home in Indiana, and we did a recording, and you can't copyright a chord progression, but you can copyright a melody. And so this record label said, this has to be stuff that you own, because we're not going to pay royalties for you. So I rewrote a melody over the changes. The changes are called the chords. Of Back Home in Indiana, which coincidentally Charlie Parker did, and called it Donna Lee. So this is one called Chanson pour Henri.
Okay.
Just the head?
Sure.
Two.
We'll give you an example.
Okay.
You guys know it in F? Back Home in Indiana in F? Two, three, intro. Little
Chanson pour Henri.
That was great. So now, Maggie, I have to ask you about Scott singing and your whole, how you discovered that you wanted to sing and sing professionally.
Well, you know, I've just been singing my whole life, to tell you the truth. There's always notes around my head, and there's always, I can hear all the bird songs that I just tune into. So as far as singing, it's just, I kind of came up singing. But
scat singing. What's the art of scat singing?
Now, what we just did there isn't really truly scat singing. Scat is an improvisation. And this is a vocalise, or Harmonious Whale. The original band, I was not in the beginning, and there was a violinist, and he joined the symphony, and then Sims turned to me and said, can you sing the violin lines? And I said, sure, because it's fun. So that's what I'm doing. I'm actually singing a line that's been written as a piece of music.
And where do the... But you're not just going... you're, right,
that's
yes.
Just,
you're adding syllables.
You know what? You know what? Now that you ask me that, I bet I do whatever comes easiest.
It's another life lesson.
A high note is more like an open vowel, and then, you know, ooh is my favorite vowel, so it's probably popping a lot of those in there. And right. I really don't know.
Well, you teach music and voice.
I just teach voice. Yeah, voice technique.
Right. So mm-hmm. You teach voice. So I'm always, as somebody who also works with a voice, with my voice though very badly, I often think that the thing about the voice is all of who you are comes out in it. Everything that you
the
have
voice is
inside
really,
you.
It's the ultimate instrument.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So are there life lessons that you feel like things you...
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because our voice is... directly related to our soul. So when my students knock on my door or come to my classes, something has changed in their life that is making them decide, I'm going to expose a little bit more of my soul to the universe. And it happens in increments. It doesn't happen all at once. But that's really how it goes. And it's a whole body instrument, and it's the only instrument that draws on your emotions, your psyche, your spirituality, your thinking brain, your entire body, all at the same time. You know, there's a piano sitting over there. There's all these guitars here. None of them are doing anything right now. But I'm speaking, and here we go. It's like,
Great note
so,
to go
sorry
out
Sorry you
on.
Got me started.
Been talking with Harmonious Whale, founder Sims Delaney Potthoff, Maggie Delaney Potthoff, Jeff Weiss on bass, Olli Sokolle here from Finland, and Jeff Soroff also here from Boston. Thank you all so much for
Thank
being
you
here.
So much.
You're listening to 45 North on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.